start the popping pills thing. I heard that from someone else.
From who then?
Because I don't know what kind of medication you take.
I take Adderall and birth control. Did she say that for real?
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Paste Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and I don't know how many of you noticed, but we had a new theme song.
Oh, yeah, we do.
It's incredibly lovely. It was Paste Case and I singing our theme song for a little while.
Which was perfect. It was beautiful and powerful. But we got an actual singer to sing it, and it's amazing.
Yeah, we have at Bernice Anders to thank for her vocal talents.
It's at BERNICEANDERZ. Bernice Sanders.
And now to discuss this week, we're going to do what we do every week. We're going to bring you all the best plays, all the best players, heirs of the game, Jorge Moreno bystanders of the week, if we have some.
MVPs, almost as important as the bystander of the week. We had a fucking gobbler of an episode, 3 hours.
And it's just the first 3 hours of five in the week.
Yeah.
This is a true testament. If you make it through these hours, this is a testament to your devotion to our beloved game.
Because is like they're trying to slough off viewers, isn't it? Like, it's already so much at 2 hours.
It's incredibly demanding, but our beloved game does this to us sometimes, where they drop in 5 hours in a week or two nights back to back. It's an insult, frankly.
Yes.
I hate it, but
it's horrible.
It is what is demanded of us if we are to bear witness.
We've borne witness and we will continue to bear witness until we perish. So this week we had a lot of truly amazing play. I mean, they did not put a lot of fluff in this episode, at least in terms of gameplay. We left off right at a cocktail party before the rose ceremony. We're still in the Alea drama. The women are freaking out about her coming back in. Finally, Peter has this conversation with Alea where he's like, basically like, thanks for sharing your PTC with me. I don't want to put you through any more of this. And kicks her off after bringing her back.
Peter is one of the most inept bachelors I have ever seen. He makes every wrong decision. He's making the situation for every player in the game worse and worse and worse every time he walks onto screen. Some bad shit. He does something. He makes someone mad at someone, mad at him, mad at each other.
So maybe
whatever.
He's the best bachelor ever?
I think he's just kind of like a stupid rube that the producers can get to do anything, and he's not even aware that he's doing it is the worst part. It's not like a Nick Viall company man that's like, yes, sir, whatever you need, sir, to the producers. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, maybe it is a good idea if I bring her back on the show.
Yeah, he'll take like, any prompting from the producers. Bachelor Clues called it, they've just been whipping him back and forth like a hurricane. Maybe I will give Kelsey the rose before she goes back into the house of people that hate her on a knock knock. Sorry.
As always, we get ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
Let's stick to the plan. Yeah. We're on a Leo. Nothing has happened and you're already jumping ahead.
Peter's so stupid in this episode. And
let's talk about Aaliyah here. I feel she did something very interesting. It was the first time in history we saw somebody brought back on. It turns out not to have lasted through the next rose ceremony at all, but it did buy her more screen time, and she became the almost key focal point of the last half of the prior episode, as well as the first scene of this one.
Right.
So she garnered herself.
Creating a cliffhanger is screen time. It's super powerful screen time.
So if you're a target and the producers come up to you and they say, we have a way to put you back on the show, are you willing to go in and cause some trouble? Are you willing to go in and spread rumors about what you read on the internet while you were off the show to the other women? Yes, I will do that. And she's on the fucking show.
And I believe we have not seen the last of her. But Peter does walk her out. The girls' heads turn to watch. Peter comes back and says, hi, ladies. And the ladies all whisper chant, hi, which I thought was funny. Some of the women punish him for the whole Alea thing. It was just mistakes left and right, in my opinion. Like, we've discussed this before, but you get to be mad at The Bachelor once. Don't use it in this thing where everyone is mad at him and it's just diffused.
If it's in a string of multiple people saying, you really messed up, and That better not happen again. Who cares?
Victoria P. is a pro, though. She says, let's just move forward, and kisses him. The strong players, they actually make the most of their time. The weaker players chastise him and don't really further their relationships. Pilot Pete says, my wife is in this room. They have the rose ceremony. Maddie gets
The rose ceremony, though, they do an interesting thing. It's right after Peter delivers all of his apologies. As you're saying, my wife is in this room. He's praising the process. And they even cut a little segment where he's direct addressing the viewer, saying, I believe this works if you just give yourself to it. And we get the first of a few times tonight where Peter is praising the process and saying the phrase, give yourself to it, as though it is a kind of religious experience.
Yeah, like, don't be skeptical. There's a greater thing to be gained if you just have faith in this process.
I just thought it was interesting to note. That's all.
It is interesting to note. Then in the rose ceremony, Maddie gets the first flower.
And what do we believe the significance of the first flower is? This is not a fimp rose. This is not a group date rose. Not a one-on-one rose. But this is just simply the first flower handed out at a rose ceremony.
I think that there is a symbolic importance to it. I think it is a way that the bachelor can send a signal to a player like, hey, you haven't gotten a one-on-one, but still thinking about you. There is also an argument to be made that it is the people that they're trying to be like, this is the next bachelorette.
That's what I feel it is, because I think the order of roses handed out is determined by the producers.
Yeah.
I think the bachelor says, I want to keep these people on. The producers then decide the rest out of the pool that he knows he doesn't like, who's going home and who's not, depending on what they need for their villain story, for their rivalry, for whatever they're cooking up. I think they tell him the order of the roses because that can help them paint a target on somebody's back, drum up the tension between two other ones, whatever, you know?
Producers definitely determine the order of the last ones because they're always cut together as like, oh, these are reasons why this person could go home and this one. We lose Deandra, Kiara, and Savannah. Your suffering will be savored. And then Pilot Pete says, let's move on. I think it's time to take it international. They're going to Costa Rica.
And we come to the international travel phase of our beloved game. A certain measure of achievement for a player if you can make it this far.
The road game ups the ante. I wouldn't say that we're at playoffs just yet.
No, certainly not.
We're
hometowns are the inaugural ceremony of the playoffs where all the families get to come out.
They take it international. The first thing that happens is Pilot Pete tells this very long story to all of the women about an elaborate hiking incident.
Elaborate hiking incident. He said he fought a puma.
That is a key detail.
And they all seem to be believing him.
I mean, they don't know where they are. They don't know where Costa Rica is.
I guess. At any rate, he of course is telling them a funny joke. It's a joke about a puma that he fought.
Praise be Lord Harrison. We have security footage of the actual incident, and it is so dumb. He hits his head on a golf cart and then shatters a glass into his eye.
So now he's going to have this bandage on his head for the remainder of this entire episode.
It's hilarious. It just further makes him look like this inept person who's just going from crisis to crisis, not realizing the impact of any of his decisions.
He's literally falling apart before our very eyes. The producers are doing it, breaking him down piece by piece until there's nothing left.
He says through gritted teeth, he's like, I'm going to remember this journey for the rest of my life, I guess.
They fucking destroyed a man.
Sydney has a one-on-one. She re-ups her PTC. She says that she had no relationship with her father, saw him 5 times her whole life, and that her home was vandalized for being in a mixed race family. Strong play. She's really playing up this damsel in distress thing that I think Pilot Pete loves. And she secures the rose.
And it was a double dip. I thought it was a very good play, too. In this era, there are so many good players. The kind of fundamental, intrinsic things you have to do in this game to get ahead, they're all doing. Very few missteps.
Yeah.
Even this, which is a move that I would argue would be a revolutionary move, probably even 3 years ago, to double dip that PTC.
Yeah, she intro'd it by saying it was hard growing up in Alabama and kind of like hinted at stuff happening, but then waits until her one-on-one to really secure the rose by playing her PTC hard.
I think that would have been an exotic strategy, or at least experimental, not that long ago. And now it's like, happens every season. Somebody's doing it. I feel the quality of play overall in our beloved game is on the rise.
Yes.
And I'm very curious to see where it winds up once it's just a well-honed machine and everyone in the show is a astute player just doing all the right things at all times.
I won't bring it up yet, but what we saw in the second row ceremony was like, oh, we're at this very high level of play. We get to the group date. It is a photo shoot in a waterfall. Hannah Celeste, of course, is on this date. She's so stoked. It's for Cosmo. The head of Cosmo tells them that Cosmo was about wit, which I thought was interesting. The women react to this. We get our usual insecurity from Victoria Fuller. And she says something that was honestly horrific. She says, I maybe wouldn't have eaten everything I ate yesterday, which didn't need to be included in this at all. Like, I think it's pretty disgusting, and I think it's promoting like a really unhealthy body image thing that like these women who are already like have no body fat are like, oh, I should have been thinner for the bikini shoot.
But of course, this show is racist, misogynistic, homophobic. It is all of these things. We know this.
Yeah.
We must expect it now. Just as any professional sport in the beginning, in the infancy of when it was kind of viewed that way, which I feel this is right now.
I honestly feel like one of the more positive interpretations is that they just needed some line of some girl being nervous about it and this was all they got or something like that. But I think it's disgusting that they put that in there. Anyway, the winner is going to be on the cover of Cosmo with Peter. They're wearing bikinis and river shoes. We get, the photographer says this line, we need something more dramatic, in a group shot of the women with Peter. And then Victoria Fuller makes out with Peter in this three-person shoot. I thought it was a great play. She distinguishes herself and ends up getting the cover.
Yeah, it was exactly what you have to do in that situation. The producers have told that photographer to say, come on, pump it up. Or what does he say? Give me some more energy or something like that.
We need something more dramatic.
He says we need something more dramatic.
Which sounds like a producer-fed line.
There's your cue. That means all cameras are on, they are rolling, and they are waiting for whoever's going to do that thing. And she steps up. She's like, I'll do that goddamn thing. And she does it. And it works like a charm. It was a very, very strong
play. Bachelor clues. Looks like she ate the right amount. I laughed at that. Then they all have to watch Victoria and Peter make out under the waterfall. It's human misery. We love it. Then we have the group date drinks. Peter forgets that it's Victoria Fuller's birthday. She reminds him. And then he's like, oh yeah, I knew that. And she says, I'm 26. It's depressing. Another Victoria Fuller promoting just wonderful stuff for women. Thank you, Victoria. You are the voice of our generation. It's ageist. It's within the show. It is the conceit of the show that you are too old if you're above 25, essentially, at this point.
She's kind of extolling the social virtues of the show, and it's no surprise then that she would be a White Lives Matter model.
Which we are hearing has contributed to Cosmo pulling that being the cover. They're not featuring her anymore.
This is a little bit of Bachelor news. This is just breaking on the internet. Moments after the episode has stopped airing, Cosmo magazine pulls the Bachelor cover due to Victoria F.'s White Lives Matter campaign. This is as reported by E! News.
I love that there's actual consequences and not just that these women, like, remove the Instagram post.
Preseason rule number one is get your social media clean.
They're not scrubbing hard enough. All of these things keep coming out. Maddie has been scrubbing her Instagram in real time with all the stuff about her, like, colonizing. It's not affecting her numbers. She's at 520-something K at this point. She's going to be the first to a million, I believe.
I think she's going to be the next Bachelorette. I think I've said this a few times. Or maybe I said it with Sloth. I don't remember.
But I think you said it. I think you said it about Maddie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she really is going to be.
She's the Christian representative that we deserve.
This is speculative theory. Okay, now let me take you down into the deepest part of the hole where I live, where I yes. think about these things, where this is something that matters to me. Think to myself, once it gets to the top three, would a producer step in and tell one of them, hey, we want to make you Bachelorette, bail out? Would that happen? Has that
bail
happened?
Bail out.
I think when they see somebody like Madison, who is a cookie cutter exact fit for the current era, Instagram friendly Christian. She's done nothing in the game
that vilifies her,
does anything other than uphold the game. Why wouldn't they want her? She's the prime target. Of the ones that remain, I think she is the most bachelorette-esque.
I mean, I could see it. I just think you can't keep up in real time, like, what the storyline is going to be. You don't know how people are going to react to various things. And it seems unwise for them to make that decision so early on. Maybe that is the key spot to make that decision, like top three. You can sort of control the narrative and you don't play up the sadness of the finalists who goes home, or you make them look bad somehow.
As I said, it's a speculative theory only. These are the things that keep me up at night.
At the group date drinks, Celeste does a good move. She's like, this is my fifth group date, but I'm still okay with it. She's like, praising the process.
She's a FimPros recipient, and she's playing it perfectly. If you have the FIMP, you don't have to do much. We know that. He's already established a connection with you. He's already said, you are very important to me. All you have to do is be happy every fucking day you're there after that. That's it. Then eventually you're going to get your one-on-one date with him, because it will have to be rewarded. He's like, I do have to do this with you finally. It'll be pressure relieved. It'll be like, you know, we've been waiting for so long. Oh, it's just as good as I thought.
Probably next episode would be my guess.
I agree with that. But as the FimPros recipient, you never push. Never are you the one to come and say, well, I'm just feeling bad about this whole process and I need my time with you. Never do that. And she's doing exactly everything correctly. Just laying back, hey,
you
this
don't
is great.
Need to push it.
And she's implicitly praising the process without even saying she is, because she's like, I know you're busy and I value the group date. That's important to me. That part of the process works for me.
And that's what Pilot Pete is looking at this point, as people are having their breakdowns, etc. He wants that safe haven, and that safe haven is Sluss. We get another good move right after this. Kelsey ups her love level. She tells Peter, I'm taking this very seriously and I'm falling in love with you.
And this is the first time this season we see it, right?
I am 95% sure that's correct.
I'm 95% sure as well.
I don't remember exactly what Victoria Fuller said to him, or Victoria P. 95% sure. Then we get an error of the game for me, which is that Tammy tattles. She tattles on Kelsey, saying that she's been crying all the time. Tammy spends all of her group date time taking out another player, a player who is in more secure standing with Pilot Pete. Bad move, in my opinion.
It's a bad move no matter who the other player is. You never, ever tattletale. If a direct question is asked to you about another player by The Bachelor, you are obligated to answer that, of course. We saw Victoria P. early in this season do some fantastic work in that exact arena.
Victoria P. lays in seeds of doubt, which is the perfect way to tattle. You're not doing it to Peter. You're not spending your time with Peter focusing on someone else. In this case, Kelsey looks like she might implode all by herself as well, which makes it extra, like, not worth it for Tammy to do this.
Yeah, I really didn't understand what Tammy was doing here. So far this season, she hasn't been presented as this type of a player.
No.
And now all of a sudden, hyper-aggressive, picks a target and is just going to go after it until something happens. There's no need for this.
Tammy has been so chill up until now. It's very strange.
She was playing a strong floater game. And now, I mean, she essentially implicitly generates a me or her scenario when she goes to Pilot Pete and says all this stuff about her being an alcoholic and popping pills or whatever all that shit was. It was just like, why are you doing this? Now Pilot Pete must make a decision. Who is telling the truth? You've already seen how that plays out before. Nobody comes away clean. No. It's just a bad move all around.
I wonder if Tammy will get an Instagram bump from this, just because it was so much screen time. That's the only positive I can think that might come out of it. Pilot Pete confronts Kelsey and says, I heard you had a little bit of kind of like a mental breakdown yesterday.
I mean, just beautifully said. It was sensitive. It was in the moment. It was thoughtful.
Kelsey says, I'm not ashamed of crying in front of people. I'm proud of it. Victoria Fuller says, be a strong woman. They basically cry shame her, which is crazy because Victoria Fuller has been crying this whole time. Hannah Celeste gets the group date rose as a reward for her patience.
She is playing FIMP perfectly. It's as though Hannah Celeste had contingency strategies for everything. She was walking in there and saying, I'm going to try for the FIMP. And if I get it, I know exactly how to play it. and she got it.
She's evaded people coming at her. She's doing exactly what she needs to do on all of these dates. You see her extricating herself from the drama later on. She just like bolts. It's perfect.
Yeah, she really is using the FemPros to its most beneficial statistically, all the things she's doing. Strong play from all these players, though. It used to be the top three were pretty good players. Now it's like the top fucking 10 are all doing everything right. The game is fucking changing rapidly.
Kelly has a one-on-one date. She almost hoodoos Pilot Pete down a mountain. She and Pete go to a shaman hut. They get the cultural date.
Got one
They're
of these
in their underwear.
Every season, you got one of these. Go enjoy the local culture, and we'll make some kind of a joke out of it.
Yeah. They have this ceremony where there's a candle. They say the female candle is repressed. Kelly does something interesting this episode where she, in one of her confessionals, she says she doesn't have a sob story, which was interesting that she's like indirectly referencing the PTC. And Kelly, my response to you would be everyone has a PTC. Find it within yourself or make it up. Doesn't really matter. Find something that was somewhat stressful in your life and pull it out.
Or at the very least, if you don't truly have a PTC or you don't feel that you do, don't ever make that a thing. Don't be like, oh, I don't have my PTC like these other players.
Well,
just fucking play without
one.
She
didn't say it to him.
No, no, no. But it's now a piece of the show. We know it's in her mind. It's in the game. That conceit. Don't give that to the producers. Don't let them make a fucking story out of it because then they'll try to manipulate it. You have to stay clean of any kind of like ill idea or you're fucked because the producers will just grow it until it becomes a fucking tree that devours you.
He guides her around a maze. They have a non-consensual kiss because she's blindfolded. At cocktails later, Pilot Pete, they get in like sort of a testy discussion. Pilot Pete's like, you're not in this just for fun, right? He questions her about the shaman's conclusion about their energy. Another sort of reference to Pilot Pete being like, you just go into things and you just believe him, whatever is presented to you.
Well, it's also the giving into the process that he said earlier. You have to just give into it. And he tells Kelly this again on this date. Just give into it. He's giving into it. He's believing the shaman's ritual is accurate. All these things. I thought that Kelly did something very interesting on this date. She kind of alpha mailed him a little bit.
Absolutely.
She was like, I want a fucking power couple. Can you handle that shit? And he had to step up with his fucking cut on his head and his band-aids hanging halfway off.
Oh, yeah, I want to be in your power couple.
She slightly disses Sluss and says she's on a different level than Sluss and literally takes, he's questioning her, are you 4TRR hard? And she questions his 4TRR right back at him harder with the power couple thing. Challenges his manhood. Can you be my power couple? Literally, I thought this was going to be my play of the game before other things happened because she just took this conversation that was seeming like maybe he was going to dump her. I don't know if that was actually true, but yeah, it had been combative and she just like used a lawyerly strategy and just one-upped him and it was amazing.
It was pure play. She took a situation that was not going her way and turned it completely around by using just instinct, kind of dynamic social attacks and defenses. It was really a beautiful thing to watch. She just willed it to happen. She saw it going bad and was just like, no, fuck this. I'm getting the goddamn rose. Yeah. And she fucking did it. I agree with you. It was a play of the game
great.
Contender for me until other things happened. But Kelly, good play. Good play nonetheless. A pleasure to watch. A fucking pleasure to watch.
Oh, I love it. They make out like next to a pool, like lying on some wet surface. It's very strange. And then they make out in a hot tub and you can't tell if it's a forklift or a hoodoo because the water's not clear enough. Then we get an amazing play coming up right after Kelly gets the rose. Kelsey does a knock knock and we get my play of the game.
It was also my play of the game.
She completely throws Tammy under the bus.
But it was because she had just come from a conversation with Tammy where she was bullied by Tammy. She recognized, oh fuck, I need to make this correct immediately or it could destroy me. And so she takes action instantaneously, which is fantastic play.
Any conversation by Tammy.
Or anyone else, for that matter. Even if he tried to go to like a third party and be like, okay, what's really going on here? Which would be the smart thing to do. So who knows if he'd do it. But even if he tried to,
roasted.
She already has stepped in front of that even.
It was truly remarkable. It also prevents any other player from stealing him back, cutting in. She gets to full out have this conversation, not end it until it goes well.
We must remind you, the knock-knock is a very special kind of event. And it can only happen, of course, through the help of the fucking producers.
Yes.
They have to set it all up. They have to go put cameras in his room. They have to be like, she's coming over. They have to give you whatever little fucking item you might need to carry with you. All that kind of shit. So they had to have helped her do this.
Yes.
They are building the story for us. Nonetheless, it's still up to the player to play well once they get the opportunity.
Yeah, because several knock-knocks have ended in dismissals.
I'm 95% sure of that.
I'm 100% sure that people have gone home on knock-knocks. Where he's like, oh, I was already going to send you home. This isn't for me. Kelsey preempts this conversation with Pete, says that Tammy's accusing her of having a drinking problem and pill popping. And we get something that I am 95% sure has never happened. She gets a knock-knock rose. I don't think they give all the roses to Pete to look after until the rose ceremony. This is definitely like, he talked to the producers and they were like, oh yeah, definitely.
Is it him talking to the producers or is it the producers like, hey, look, we've been watching your conversation. We know obviously you want to give her a rose. If you just want to give her one right now, go ahead. Like, she deserves it. We don't want to put her through that. And then they know that doing that will make her an instantaneous target. And that's a whole story for your next episode.
Maybe it's under the guise of like, hey guys, can we pause this and have each of you do a confessional or whatever? But yeah, and I don't know if he would have thought of it on his own. Because
I think they did. I'm saying it. I'm 100% sure the producers did this.
100%.
Yeah, producers did it. Specifically to make her like a target of all the other players.
Oh, you're having problems with all the other girls? Take this knock-knock rose and go walk back to your doom. Kelsey does something interesting, which makes me think and further respect this move that she knows it is a strategy point, as she says, now everyone's going to think about sneaking over. She's literally thinking of it in terms of the game, how it's going to affect, and she's like, oh, I've just done a really good move. People are going to copy me. She goes back to the girls, has the most awkward group conversation ever, says, hopefully tonight should be smooth sailing. Yeah.
She didn't know he was going to give her the knock-knock rose. And had he not, had he just given her a rose at the rose ceremony, obviously none of this animosity would exist. None. It wouldn't be an issue. Couldn't have existed.
I mean, play of the game is maybe the producers here giving her that knock-knock rose.
The producers never get play of the game. The producers control the game. They,
right.
I feel like every play is under their watch, their evil vision. It ensured a rose inadvertently, and then that rose now comes with some prices to pay.
It comes with even further prices to pay when they have Peter cancel the cocktail party, and then all of the women blame Kelsey. I think Mike kind of even suggested it. Maybe we could have had a cocktail party if you hadn't done your knock-knock.
It's tough to say it was an error, though, because she wasn't aware that she was going to get that rose.
Oh, no, I don't think it's an error.
I think what she did, the knock-knock is...
They've already stabbed the knife and they're trying to spin it around.
Well, good luck to her. She's definitely in a precarious situation. One foot over the edge of a cliff.
She's pulled it out, though. I mean, McKenna keeps hinting she's going to play a PTC and that Peter would see her heart. She's covered in bruises still. Horrifying. After Lord Harrison tells them there's not going to be a cocktail party, the women start fighting amongst each other, and Tammy's like, I don't know what pills you're taking, and there's maybe a hint that Victoria P. started the pill rumor, but then she quickly drops that bomb and leaves.
That was it was fantastic and subtle play by Victoria P., who we already know is shaping up to maybe be the superstar of this season, how she kind of bobs and weaves and does these little subtle things where it just deflects enough that everybody stops talking about her listening. Yeah. When it was brought up in this conversation, Tammy said, I heard it from Victoria P. Well, I don't know where I heard it. She says something like that. Just kind of, I forget exactly what it is, but dismisses it as though it's a Jedi mind trick. I'm not the droid you're looking for.
Yeah.
And people just go right back to Tammy. And yeah. And then she walks the fuck out. Bye. I wasn't here.
We see an arm, a long black sleeve rub her back as she walks out. So further evidence that maybe she is a producer darling. And well, this arm is my Moreno bystander of the week.
Hey, it was mine too.
Oh, damn.
What other bystanders were there even?
There was the shaman.
Yeah, mine was that producer as well. This is what I took it to mean. This is just some speculation. I think there may be some footage on the cutting room floor of everybody turning on Victoria P, her starting to cry and be very emotional, and a producer steps in to save her. And they leave that on the cutting room floor because they are building a story with her, and we cannot see that.
What?
Yeah.
I love all Bachelor theories.
I think that's accurate. I think they don't want to paint her as a villain, and I think that scene would have. That footage, I mean.
Interesting.
So instead, they deflected it onto Tammy. But then, at the end of this week, the rose ceremony, Tammy stays in.
Yes, Tammy does. And I called this right before the rose ceremony. I was like, someone should grab him before he reads the names. Tammy does the Hail Mary first.
She has no choice.
She's got it, because literally the person she's been targeting has just gotten the first knock-knock rose of all time.
In the history of our beloved game.
95% sure. Then, this is how good the level of play is. Mykenna then steals Tammy's Hail Mary play and grabs him before the rose ceremony as well. I mean, amazing.
It was genius. I really, what I wanted to see in this moment is then each player do it one after the other so that Peter comes out and says, no cocktails tonight, ladies. I know what I'm doing. And then they're like, no, fuck you. We are going to have a cocktail party tonight. Yeah. I really wanted to just see them force him into having one-on-one conversations with each of them. That would have been fantastic.
It kind of was that, because it's like, how does he get out of those conversations at that point? Oh, no, don't worry. I'm going to keep you in, which I guess is what he does, because both of them stayed in. Great place. Lexi lashes out, says, I'm glad you had your mini cocktail party. Hilarious. Lexi, you should have gotten in on that party. You gotta be quick on your feet in this game. It's evolving at a very rapid rate.
The third person could have just gone up there and said simply, look, two people have gotten one-on-one time with you. I know you didn't want a cocktail party, but now we all get that. You have to give us that.
You'll notice that certain people like Maddie, they're never doing a Hail Mary. She's confident. She got first flower, etc. We lose Cheyenne and Lexi. Tammy gets the last rose. And we have a very bizarre tag of Lord Harrison.
Can we talk about Tammy getting the rose real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Producers, producers, producers. He doesn't give a fuck about Tammy. In fact, he wants her off the show because she's now drama. They want her on because they're building something. Next episode is going to be fucking Tammy and somebody. Kelsey. Yeah, probably. Maybe it's a 2-on-1 Tammy versus Kelsey.
Well, it looks like Mykenna's yelling at her too. Then we have this very weird tag where we see Dark Lord Harrison all in shadow and his voice is distorted.
He's in his true form. Demonic voice. Void of any detail or light.
I feel like it was he a is Bachelor the nothingness. Clues nightmare come to life was this tag.
It will be. I'll probably re-edit it into something. But the content of the tag is what was strange. It's just them making fun of Peter.
Yeah. He's saying Peter is clumsy. And it's like so highly produced in order to get, you know, that lighting and voice and et cetera. I don't think we did this, but I think we had the same MVP. My MVP of the episode was Kelsey.
My MVP of the episode was Kelsey, too. We had the same play of the game and MVP.
I mean, it was so strong. You can't compete. I was thinking Kelly for a little bit because the way that she got out of that being accused of being 4TWR and backlashing onto Pilot Pete and being like, are you for TRR? Like, can you handle being a power couple? Amazing. But Kelsey here was in a much more precarious situation. She wasn't on a one-on-one. She was in group date territory and being accused of drama and directly targeted by a fellow player. And she made Bachelor Nation history, getting the first knock-knock rose. I mean, she's got to be the MVP.
I couldn't agree more for all the reasons you mentioned. It was just one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen in a single episode. And this was even a 3-hour episode. Way more screen time to cover. And she was in almost all of it, it seemed like. Yeah. You know, there was almost no main story of tonight that didn't at least touch her, if not feature her as the main character of it. It was just really stellar play. Like you said, she made history. First knock knock. I mean, that's like, I don't know. I find that to be a big deal because it, once you get into the structure of how roses are handed out and how producers are setting them up to make other players mad or whatever, giving them out outside of the rose ceremony is always extremely significant.
Yeah.
And they've just like inserted a new place where they can do that now so that they can ratchet up whatever tensions they want in the house.
Here was the other reason she was my MVP. It was suggested that she was crying because Sydney specifically was on the date. And we do hear her calling her a bitch or something like that. Fake. But she's able to totally slough off that accusation in this episode. She redirects it and she's like, no, Peter, it was because of my love level increasing. Like, I'm falling. That was the other thing. She upped her love level.
The first player of the season to do it.
Being the first one to say, I'm falling in love with you, is always a strong play. We saw Luke Parker do that on Hannah B's season. It gives the Bachelor this confidence that, you know, this process is going to work for him as long as you're able to do it genuinely. And Kelsey is very good at that.
Well, the first player to up their love level, it's incredibly rare that that is something you get sent home for. It's much more common that you're rewarded with a rose, especially if you're the only player to do it that week.
And she punctuates it by reminding him that she upped her love level. And she's like, that's why the tears were happening.
It gives her immunity from all attacks until the next rose ceremony.
Anyway, that was our episode.
As always, thank everyone for listening. Keep sending us all the stuff that you find. We're getting like some really good stuff. Oh, just a little tidbit. We learned that Lexi has some pictures with her sister on Instagram where they are
kissing.
Open mouth kissing.
There's one where they're touching tongues, but it's separate from the kiss.
We'll just leave that out there for you. But yeah, I'm projecting a Lexi and her sister on Paradise.
Love that.
This summer.
I think if her sister's old enough, we could see that. If the people want it.
Give a quick shout out, RIP to Kendall and Joe.
RIP.
They met in Paradise. Stay together in Paradise, but then met up some months after while still swimming around the infested waters of Bachelor players that exist in the social media world. And they dated for how long?
I don't know. I'm 95% sure it's around a year.
I'm 95% sure of that.
Grocery store Joe, I mean, never has a night one guy gone this far, sustained a relationship with another top player. Like, great play for him. I don't even know. Would they be on Paradise again? Have they transcended Paradise?
I think they aged out of Paradise. Mm. I don't know, though. Chris Bukowski. Maybe. Maybe we'll see them both back on Paradise. Maybe they'll try and rekindle.
Rekindle.
Good one.
What's our dwab at? 6,525 days without a Black Bachelor.
And counting.
If you guys like the podcast, send it to a friend who's psychotically interested in The Bachelor as well. That would be great. Or rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That helps people discover the show and come down in the darkness with us.
And we are down here in the darkness because we will be doing another episode in 48 short fucking hours to watch 2 more hours of The Bachelor.
Praise be Lord Harrison.